when my Jesus was. I'm so glad he's won. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy
day. Well, I hope you're ready to worship this morning. Because we are here for a reason and a purpose. If you couldn't tell, we are ready to worship the Lord. And I hope you are. I want to say welcome to everyone. Welcome, everyone, to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And so good to see everybody. I know I keep saying it every service, but it sure is nice pulling in, seeing the freshly painted church and updated and just looking good. Looking good here on the corner. And hey, we're supposed to be a light to this lost and dying world. And what better way to start than having a nice curb appeal for our church. But anyway, so good to be here. So good to see each and every one of you. And I hope everybody's had a good week this week. And, you know, like someone told me this week, I said, I hope you've had a good week. And they said, well, I've just chose to have a good week. And, you know, life doesn't always go our way, but we can choose to have a good day anyway, Brother Harold. And we have an exciting day from start to finish here at Calvary and Calvary Children's Home. This evening the service is going to be over at Calvary Children's Home. They've got a big pavilion out in the center part of the campus. A lot of grass to roll and play. that was supposed to be a joke. Oh, y'all gonna have to help me out this morning, you know. But anyway, gracious. But so we're gonna have a good time over there. I asked Brother Brian if he would to step in and just give us, you know, some history. Testify maybe of some things that God has done and he is doing currently over at the children's home. Everybody that's here this morning isn't aware of the campus and what's going on over there. We have some new members, and and we have members that's been here a while that still hasn't been over there. And so it's going to be just a great, great time. So we're looking forward to that this evening. I do want to say this morning that there's still opportunity to give for the Easter offering. If you missed out on that last Sunday, you can still do that. I believe we still have some envelopes. If you need an envelope for the Easter offering, can you raise your hand? I'll just say it that way. And our ushers can give you one. All right, well, looks like everybody's gave. I hope, anyway. But if you do give to the Easter offering today without an envelope, maybe just mark it somehow to let everyone know what's going where. All right, let me mention a few things as far as prayer requests this morning. Miss Shauna and Brother Michael Bendy are here. They're here Wednesday night, but they've had a rough go for a while now, and so good to see them back with us. Miss Shauna out of the hospital, praise the Lord. And but if you just continue to remember them as they try to get her well, try to figure out what's going on. And possibly a lot of this was due to the COVID she had about a year ago, that she testified of how God delivered her from that, where she had the respirator or ventilator. And so we will remember you, Miss Shauna, Brother Michael. Ed and Marianne Sanvey, Miss Mary's sister, passed away this week down in Florida. Brother Ed, last I heard, was battling COVID. And so it's been running through the family. Miss Mary's trying to stay well, so remember her. And Brother Jeff Hodges was sick this past week, so let's remember him. Good to see the Teagues with us. I know you guys were here on Easter Sunday, but so good to see y'all. We're praying for you guys, Miss Connie. You made it thus far. And so I believe you will make it. But anyway, let's remember her. Leonard and Dolores Palmer with Brother Leonard's medical situations. Chuck and Cece, Miss Cece's mother, breast cancer. Then, of course, let's continue to remember Bobby and Nancy McClendon, their daughter Kelly, and son Tanner, and the passing of her husband and his dad. All right. Excuse me. Pardon my voice. I want to make an acknowledgement to someone on Facebook. Nothing bad, but something good. I just wanted to say a good big hello to Doug Coomer. Doug Coomer. I was introduced to him by the Bendys, and he lives in, it's Kentucky, but is it Louisville or Lexington? Louisville. And I told Brother Doug I'd give him a shout out this morning, and we were talking about that, kind of joking around, and he said, well, if you don't mind, could you do that? So just want to say hello to him. We had a great conversation, just talking about the Lord and different things like that. But, Brother Doug, we're praying for you, your wife, your pastor, and your church this morning. And so we appreciate you guys. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. And we'll just meet with the Lord, have a good time today. Father, we thank you. We love you today. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, help us to always be conscious of your presence, Lord. Lord, if we belong to you, then we belong to you. It's a permanent thing. There's nothing we can do for you to love us any less, any more. God, if we're saved, we are in your grip. And never to escape, never to leave. So help us just know that when we're going through times of difficulty that you're there. Lord, help us to remember going through great times. Help us remember you during great times that you're there. But help us just give you praise, Lord, and not forget about you when things are well. This morning, God, we've come together to meet and worship you in spirit and truth through song and through the preaching of your word. God, we need your touch this morning from the singers right down to myself. If you do not make us able, nothing will be accomplished today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll communicate the truth of your word to the hearts of your people, those that are here. And God, I pray that someone would receive direction for their life. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't know you personally and they don't know if they died today, heaven to be their home. I pray, Lord, that it'll be made clear to their hearts. God, I pray that you'll smile upon us, change us, let us be different by the time we leave, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Take a hymnal and turn with me, and let's all stand together and sing page number 113, Glory to His Name. All right, everyone sing now.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His
name. On the last now, come to this fountain so rich and sweet. As I pour soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let me just say again to everyone that was a part of the drama, those worked on the scenes, behind the scenes, so much work went into that that most of us would probably never even realize. And now they've taken everything down and the church is all put back together again, and we just praise the Lord for the great, great experience that we had last Sunday morning as we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord and Savior. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Amen. And I've got some good news for you. He's still alive. Amen. And he's still working in hearts and still working in lives. And we want to pray for Pastor this morning that the Lord would use him in a powerful way, that we would leave a different people than when we came in this morning. I don't want to leave the same old fella than I was when I came in. I want to be just a little bit closer to the Lord than when I came in this place this morning. And we can be. Thankful for the word this morning. Thankful for our pastor. But just pray for him this morning. Also pray for the choir. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been given. We have many. And we just want to lift up them to the Lord this morning and ask him to be with them in a powerful way. But thank you for being here this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Father, we love you and praise you. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have. Lord, what a beautiful day you have made for us today. This is a day that you have made. And Lord, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we gather together in this place today for one reason, that is to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, there might even be someone here today that's never accepted you as their personal Savior. Our prayer would be that they would realize that they stand in need of you today and accept you, that they would be changed, Lord, forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed at Calvary. Lord, thank you for the risen Savior. And we continue to praise and worship him today. Lord, again, I pray that you would just be with us. Accept now our offering, Lord, as a gift, Lord, that we want to give unto you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the way that you've blessed us. In return, Lord, we give you our tithes, we give you our offerings. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Give us a great day in your house today. Lord, we're going to praise you, and we're going to thank you now for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name.
precious blood that flowed from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to feel His presence.
I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've had a cleansing from the fountain.
My soul was hungry. I cry.
thong, Miss Lauren. And there you go. Get that water. Praise the Lord. November 19th, 2002. Lord, save my soul. I was headed to hell. I was a drinker. I was a dope head. Hung out with all the wrong people. Made all the wrong choices. But God, on that day, I was working in the gym, believe it or not. And my brother came in, and he had recently gotten saved. And I said, Chris, I said, I got to know, if I died today, would I go to heaven? He said, Justin, he said, if you died today and you're not saved, you go to hell. And I thank God for him telling me that. Thank God for him telling me Bible truth. Because the truth is, if a person isn't saved, they are going to a devil's hell. And so I asked the Lord to save me that day. He came into my life, came into my heart almost 20 years ago. I believe this November will be 20 years. November 19th will be 20 years that I've been saved. And appreciate that song, Miss Lauren. I did not expect, to be honest with you, sometimes we come to church and we're in survival mode. Sometimes we're in thriving mode. I just didn't expect the Lord to sneak up on me like that. And I appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate each and every one of you. And God's been good to us. Just give me a minute. God's been good to me. He's been so gracious to me. God's been good to my family. I just want to pause a minute and say thank the Lord for salvation this morning. Thank the Lord for what he does. Thank God that he uses those who fail him often. I praise the Lord that he isn't looking for perfect people. He just wants to forgive people and then use them. Oh, me. So thankful I'm saved. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, where would I be without him? Where would you be this morning without him? Let's don't take the Lord for granted. God's good. He's just so good this morning. Thank you, Lord. I needed this morning. I just want to thank God again. I feel like I'm about to explode. He's just so good to me. God's so good. Time, just gotta be still for a minute. I'm thankful this morning. Salvation is something you can feel occasionally. Thank you, Lord. Oh, me. God has a way, doesn't he? God has a way. God has a way of giving you what you need. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I don't know if I can speak. I don't know if I can speak.
Come here. Other deacons, please. This Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with humble hearts. We see our pastor. We see him crying with emotion. I don't know why, and it doesn't matter, you know. But Lord, reach out your loving hands to him, touch him, enfold him in your loving arms. Give him the words we need to hear. And us, hearts, to hear it and to share it with other people. The Lord, he has a heart for those that are lost. He's been there. He knows just as I do and just as every person here that is saved by your grace knows where they're at and where they've been. And Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for our pastor. So Lord, give him what we need to hear today. And let us love him and lift him up. That's every day, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights, but every day. That he can bring the word to us that we need and that we can share with this lost and dying world. But we see it getting worse and worse every day. And we don't know what to do except pray to you for it. But we ask all these things in Jesus' holy, sweet name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, love you.
Can I say something? Sure. I can't get up here without saying something. I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I was 12 years old when the Lord saved me. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. But guess what? I was on my way to hell too.
Yeah.
But God. But God. I'm thankful that he saved me. All the years I've been a Christian, he's never failed me. I failed him a lot. I'm glad when we fail him, he doesn't throw us away. He doesn't give up on us. He keeps giving us opportunity after opportunity to serve him. And I'm thankful for that today.
Anybody else have a word this morning?
Brother Justin, this weekend, one of my Bible studies, I read. do have strength, and that I can persevere, and I know I'm not going through the battle, and I'm not going through the fight alone, because I know you already won the victory.
Amen. Anybody else have to say something? Brother Monty. Thank you, brother. Love you. Not just to fill up air, but if you really have something to say, everybody stands. We'll try it again. Sir.
My question to you is the same thing I had for my class this morning. What now?
Yes.
What now? What are you going to do now?
Yes.
You said to yourself this morning, you thought we might come in and be a little flat today.
Yeah.
But the Lord had a better plan.
Amen.
A greater plan. There might be someone here today that's never been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Don't leave this place. Now's your opportunity to come to know the Lord as your personal Savior. Hey, if you don't know Him, nothing else matters. The only thing that's going to make a difference when you leave this walk of life is whether or not you know the Lord as your personal Savior. I'm glad I'm washed.
Amen, brother. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Sometimes we think that when you get saved, God just did it. You know,
ourselves before we at least get into the introduction. Ma'am, thank you for that, Ms. Darlene. All right. Anyone else? Psalm 119, verse 66. I'm not going to preach the whole message, but I do want to at least start moving it. See if it'll roll for a few minutes. And I know that your attention will only be that which your back end can withstand. And so we're always conscious of time and people's attention spans. But I do have something here I want to mention, and we do have a little bit of time. So Psalm 119 and verse number 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. I want you to notice the words good judgment. The word judgment here, it means taste. It also means the power to determine the quality of things being bitter or sweet. So it has to do, if I can say it this way, with the taste buds. You go to taste something, and you'll be able to tell right away if it's bitter or if it's sweet. And you'll either spit it out or swallow it. And it also means the ability to discern good and evil, right and wrong. So he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge. In other words, Lord, teach me and lead me in the path of goodness and not of evil. Teach me, Lord, to discern and accept the things that are good for me and not bad for me. Teach me, Lord, to apply the spiritual taste buds when I go to make decisions in life. Teach me, Lord, to taste it. When I go to make decisions, Lord, is it from you, the thing that I'm wanting to do? So it has a lot to do with taste. And the power to determine the quality of a thing. The ability to discern good and evil, right and wrong. And with that said this morning, the title of the message is Making Good Decisions. Making Good Decisions. Now, I want to say right here in the beginning that we need God's help in order to make good decisions. Because he says, teach me. Show me, instruct me, guide me, lead me, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. So we need God's help to do this. The flesh will fail you every time when it comes to making decisions in life. Sometimes we make hasty decisions, and there's repercussions because of that. Sometimes we make emotional decisions. And if there's anything I'm learning in my Christian life now more than ever, it's that do not allow emotions to guide your life. Don't let your emotions call the shots. You allow this book to call the shots. Whether you feel good or not, this book says what to do, and you go with the book. And that's what I'm learning more now than ever. It's taken about 20 years to get there, of not allowing my emotions to direct me and guide me. Making good decisions. I jotted this down. We need to make a decision now about making decisions. So someone here this morning, or many here, maybe even someone on Facebook, needs to hear this, that you need to right now make a decision about future decisions. Are you going to taste it out? Are you going to allow those spiritual taste buds? Will you allow God to direct your steps? Will you allow the Lord to lead and guide you? And all the while, we are asking God to teach us good judgment. I'm telling you this morning, when it comes to making decisions, making one wrong decision can follow you all the days of your life if you're not careful. But let me say this, the greatest decision you'll ever make is the decision of what will you do with Jesus. That is the greatest decision you will ever make. And so if you're here this morning and there's no assurance in your heart of heaven when you die, if you don't know for sure, I plead with you, I beg with you, come to me after the service. Come to Brother Allen, come to one of the preachers or deacons, and make that known, make that for certain. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And so that's the greatest decision you'll ever make, is getting saved or not. Now, I just want to mention at least one or two things out of the message this morning about making good decisions, and I hope that it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Number one, when it comes to making good decisions, we need to clear our hearts. Clear our hearts. We need to, more specifically, we need to clear our hearts of any known sin. Any habitual sin. If there is any kind of habitual, continual sin that we're allowing in our lives, and we have to make decisions in our lives about things, that sin, that continual, habitual realm that you live in, it will cloud your judgment. It will cloud your judgment, and you will not make the right decisions. So, number one this morning, we need to clear our hearts of any known sin. You say, how do you do that? Repentance. Repentance. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if, it's a contingent verse, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That verse is to the believer, and it's a verse of contingency. It says, if, meaning the choice is yours this morning. You can continue in sin, living that miserable life. And I'm going to say, as a believer, if we ever try to straddle the fence, it is a miserable life to live. You'll either cling to the one and hate the other. You'll fall to one side. But the decision is ours this morning. If we want to be cleansed, if we want the cloud to lift in our relationship with God, if we want these things to happen so that we know where God wants to lead us, we need to have a clean heart. And so that verse, 1 John 1:9, is contingent upon our decision. If we confess our sin. There's a second thing this morning I want to mention about making good decisions. Not only we need to clean our heart or clear our heart, but number two, we need to position ourselves. You say, what do you mean position yourself? Position your desires into neutral. Let me explain. I remember when I first got saved that I thought for sure, Christy will tell you this because, well, I still talk about it to this very day from time to time, but When I first got saved, I thought for sure, Brother Allen, God was going to call me to be a cop. I thought for sure. I was even cleaning the church when I was a building and grounds man at Floyd Road, and I was cleaning the church one day, and I looked down the front pew, and there was a, out of all things, there was a magazine, and it had a cop on the front of it. It talked about wanting to be a cop. I said, there it is. There it is. God's going to call me to be a cop. And I tried, going on 20 years, well, I'll say 15. I gave it up about 5 years ago, wanting to be a cop. Now I just try to play one from time to time. Me and Bobby McClendon know a little bit about that, don't we, Bobby? But anyway, we won't share that right now. So I came to the place of realizing that I need to position myself in a place of being neutral. And again, to be very clear on that, is God, what do you want to do in my life? I want to be the high sheriff in town. You know, I want to be the one speeding the police car through Powder Springs making arrest. But God, what do you want me to do? I can remember I actually had an interview at Powder Springs Police Department probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And Justin Hales, we need you here at this time. We'll give you an interview in person and then the training course. And back then I was, of course, more in shape than I am now. So I was ready for it. and so I was getting ready to that day of going for my interview. I kid you not, I got a call from Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And they wanted me to come preach the very night that my interview. The interview was toward the evening time on a Wednesday. And they wanted me to come at that time to do the interview with them. But yet I had this option of going to Pleasant Hill. And I knew right then that being a police officer is something that I wanted to do, not something God wanted to do through me. And so I say this morning, we need to position ourselves, position our desires into a place of being neutral. Ask God what He wants you to do. Ask the Lord what He would have you to do in your life. And so position your desires into a place of being neutral. Give God moving room. Let me mention the third thing. Not only clean your heart, not only position yourself, but number three is exercise patience. Exercise patience. That's the hard one, isn't it? If we're going to make good decisions, we need to be able to exercise patience. Be willing to wait for what we believe God wants us to do. We've got to be willing to wait in the matter of serving the Lord. I jotted this down. God's pauses are important. Sometimes God puts the pause button on our life. We're praying about something and asking for direction, asking God to lead and guide, and yet there's no answer. No answer. Sometimes God puts the pause button. Now, I believe God is always answering prayer. It's either yes, no, or not right now. And there's certainly times where God puts the pause button, especially with an area of life you feel you're called in, but God's not opening any doors. I don't think there's anything more frustrating to feel and know you have ability God has equipped you with and not having anywhere to use it. It's when God hits the pause button. He knows why He's hitting the pause button. We may not know why. And so it's a time of exercising patience when it comes to making good decisions. Also, God knows where the emergencies are at in our life. We can't look down through the portals of time and see all the emergencies that might happen. But God can. And so He looks through time and He sees things that may interfere, and so He just allows us to wait. He allows us to exercise patience. I like what Charles Stanley said. He gave a good definition of patience. Simply this: the will to wait. the will to wait. I thought that was a great definition of patience. And so God is literally creating within us at times this desire to wait on Him. Because we get impatient, don't we? I get impatient. I'm sure you get impatient. And so what is God going to work with in our life and work on? He's going to work on our patience. He's going to hit the pause button from time to time. He's going to redirect our lives to certain places. But He does this because He sees the future. Again, patience, good definition, is the will to wait. Let me mention another one. Again, we're talking about making good decisions. Be alert to persevere. Be alert to persevere. Or be alert to pressure. Be alert to pressure. You say, what do you mean? Well, pressure this morning can cause us to make decisions emotionally. Has the boss ever put the pressure on you at work? And you get all flustered and you want to pick up that phone and let them know and walk out the door and never come back? Hit the road, Jack. Of course, that's you telling your boss that and you're leaving. This pressure can cause us. Pressure can come from friends. Pressure can come from family. And especially during a time where you're trying to make an important decision about something. There's two kinds of pressure. There's external pressure, and then there's internal pressure. And I would say this external pressure comes from friends and family and a godless society. There's this external pressure. And so you have to make some decisions in your life. And there's this external pressure from your friends, and they know the best thing for you to do in your life. Somehow you haven't figured it out yet. And family, no doubt, try to help and guide and lead, especially parents and grandparents. We will try to lead and guide our children. But sometimes there are those who are the naysayers in our life. Oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And so there's this, but you feel like God wants you to. There's this external pressure from friends, family, that knows that what you should do in your life more than you. So there's this pressure building. And if you're not careful, your emotions can cause you to abort the mission you're about to go on for God. Then the godless society we live in, this external pressure, and this godless society we live in says this: it's your life, do what you want with it, live how you want to live, do what feels good, eat, sleep, tomorrow we die. That's the kind of mentality of this society. And if you have big decisions to make, you're praying about who to marry, you're praying about what job, what career, and you're listening to this godless society, you might just miss the mark on God's best if you're not careful. Because there is a pressure that's on the outside, external pressure. But then there's the internal pressure. And internal pressure is that inner fear on the inside. It's dealing with doubt. It's dealing with worry. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, just for a moment. 2 Corinthians 7. Of course, Paul is writing here, and he says in verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians 7, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Listen to this. "Without were fightings," external pressure. "Within were fears," internal pressure. And so we have this great apostle Paul, and he is following God, and he says there is all this affliction on the outside and the inside, yet decisions must be made. And so what does he do? He's alert to this reality. This morning, I guess if there's nothing else to hear from this message, I really feel at this particular time that we need to just be alert of that external pressure, that internal. And don't make decisions based on emotions, but only on biblical principles. And so we see that Paul, he says that in verse number 5 and verse number 6, nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. And so Paul knew a little bit about pressure, didn't he? Let me mention another one. Not only be alert to pressure if you want to make good decisions, but be persistent in prayer. Y'all know that. So God is teaching us to trust Him when our prayers aren't answered the way we think they ought to be answered. God is calling us to a season of regular prayer. He's wanting to create a prayer life in your life. I know he's used this in my life before, and he continues to. I'm praying about something, and it's not being answered the way I think it should. And so I get bothered on the inside, and I struggle, and I wrestle, and I wonder. And finally, I get to the place of surrender, because I've got other things to take care of in life, other responsibilities. I can't walk around and always being in wonder and having these doubts about what God's up to in my life. Be concerned, but don't let it control your emotions. And so we got to be persistent in prayer. And many times God creates a prayer life if we're not persistent through unanswered prayer. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 6 and verse 18, Paul tells us, praying always with all prayer. So he says in this verse, we are to always pray and pray about everything. Praying always with all prayer. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Paul tells us there that we're to be persistent in prayer when we go to make decisions. We're to be careful for nothing. Don't be wound up tight with anxiety and fear about something. He said, give it to me, pray, and wait. So God is, He is doing a lot. He's doing a lot in our lives. Amen. Then let me say this, not only be persistent in prayer, be alert to pressure, but rest in God's promises when it comes to making good decisions. And they're not happening as fast as you would like for them to, or in the fashion you would like for your prayers to be answered or your decisions to be made. Rest in God's promises. Believe what He says, that He will always provide for you. Believe what He says, that He is always there. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Believe what He says, that He will supply all our need according to His riches in glory. So it's very important when we're making decisions to rest in God's promises. And of course, when we're truly resting in God's promises, this is a faith builder. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Possible to please God. So if it takes faith to please God, and we're in a situation where we need to make decisions, and we're not operating out of faith, but we're operating out of worry and fear and dread, don't know what to do, then we're not pleasing God with that. When we're living a life of fear, worry, and doubt, that's not a life that's pleasing to God. Greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. We don't have to succumb to fear. We don't have to live a life of fear and doubt and dread and worry. But God has saved us and given us the capacity to believe Him wholly, no matter what's in front of us. And so when we look at a situation in our life and it is a mountainous situation, and we've prayed about it and that mountain isn't moving, you know you're saved, you know you are repented up to date, that thing isn't moving. So what do? We commit that mountain to God. He'll either give us grace and strength to climb that mountain, or He will move that mountain. It's one of the two. And if you climb that mountain, your faith is going to be much more greater on the other side. And so rest in God's promises. This builds our faith. Also, while we're resting in God's promises, this prepares us for the answer. And so maybe God's saying, not right now, but later, because I got to get you ready for that. There's battles over here in the thing you're wanting that you're no match for right now. You remember in the Old Testament when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and God chose not to lead them through the land of the Philistines, although it was near. And so, what, 40 plus years it took them to get into the promised land. While it could have just taken a few days to go straight through the land of the Philistines, and they would make it. God didn't give them the shortcut. You want to know why? They weren't ready to face those champions of battle. They weren't ready to face those warriors of the Philistines. They'd be crushed. Coming out of Egyptian bondage like that, the Bible even says that that they would want to go back to Egypt. And so this morning, we just need to rest in God's promises, because He is preparing us for something later. Lastly, we're done. We got it in. When it comes to making good decisions, wait for God's peace. And this is probably my most favorite one out of all of these, because it has to do with peace being the indicator for your situation. He says in Colossians 3:15, Paul does, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And the word rule in this verse, it means to umpire. And those of us that are baseball fanatics knows what umpiring is. They call the shots. Ball. Then you get with the umpires that oh goodness, y'all are a hoot this morning. Maybe I ought to try to do umpiring on the side. That might be pretty fun. Be a good stress reliever. And so we are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, call the shots. Here's the question. Whatever you're praying about, whatever decisions you have to make, do you have peace about it? What we're trying to say. When God says no to something, usually there's this uneasiness or a fearfulness, a feeling of dread when you move forward in making a decision without peace. Don't do that, please. If you do not have peace about something, don't do it. Because the Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So when God says no to something, there'll be an uneasiness, there'll be a fearfulness, feeling of dread, fear, and worry. So when God says yes, there will be peace. There will be a tranquility or a tranquil state of mind. It doesn't mean that you're happy all the time. You can be right in the middle of a disaster in your life, but have the peace of God ruling in your mind and heart. You could have this tranquil state of mind, although life is falling apart, when God leads and God directs. This morning, that's the message, making good decisions. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, God. What a different kind of service. I'm so glad and so refreshed even of how you work this morning. I pray during the time of invitation, Lord, that you would move on hearts. We'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And if you need to come,
now'll be the time.